With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom by simply visiting www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.
It's Thursday morning. It's the Thursday before Easter. Good Thursday, even better Thursday. I don't know, whatever you want to call it. And that means that Lindsay Perigo is back with his perspective. Lindsay, hi.
Hi, Paul. It must be a year since I first appeared here because, as we reminisced last week, I was a week late. You started the week before, so that was your birthday last week.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
But it's the 1 year since I first appeared and started frightening horses.
Yeah. Okay. So that year's gone pretty quick, and we have influenced an election. We're about to influence the Royal Commission of Inquiry into COVID-19. We are going to do that. And we've definitely influenced the debate on fluoride. And now we're starting to really debate this whole thing about transgender and what it all means and why it's happening, etc. So I don't know how many other radio platforms can say that they've had such an influence in such a short time. I don't think I'm overstating it, Lindsay.
No, I don't think you are. But as we discussed last week, the price of liberty is eternal vigilance. We can't rest on our laurels. It struck me earlier this week, the grandmother who was assaulted in Albert Park, again about a year ago, was at Parliament this week meeting with the acting Prime Minister, the Deputy Prime Minister, Winston Peters, and several other MPs. And I thought, well, we have come away since prior to the change of government where people outside Parliament protesting against tyranny were not even spoken to by a single politician on the other side of the barricade. So, yes, progress, and I think RCR has had a heck of a lot to do with it, the Free Speech Union, Taxpayers Union. There are lots of genuine progressive. I mean, the term progressive has been hijacked, of course, by the woke, but truly progressive people such as you and I, Paul, we're doing our best to lead a charge and to make it stick. And there's clear progress.
This is interesting. You mentioning the politicians not talking to the protesters has triggered me to remind folk that on Cameron Slater's show later on, The Crunch, apparently he has new information on why no one came to the door on that occasion. Yeah.
Whoa, good. Good.
I don't know what that is, but I just know that he has more information. So make
he's
sure
he's a real sleuth, that boy.
Well, he knows people. He knows
talk
people.
Talk about your typical intrepid journalist. He's it.
Oh, yeah. He doesn't sleep, I don't think. And, of course, the teachers lost their appeal to uphold the New Zealand Bill of Rights. The teachers, NZTSOS group, representing the teachers who are mandated out of jobs. So the battle, it's still raging, Lindsay.
Yes. Well, I think what they're up against, and this underscores the fact the price of liberty, especially free speech, is eternal vigilance, and the entirety, in fact, of our Bill of Rights, including the right to refuse medical treatment, which is the one pertinent to the teacher's case. But if you're up against a woke judiciary and a woke police force, which we are now, then the battle is that much more difficult. And I often think to myself, it's all very well for the new government to say, oh, we're going to put 500 new cops on the beat. And the idea behind that, all things being equal, would be admirable. But if they're 500 woke brick Portaloos who've been indoctrinated and take the wrong side when the chips are down, that only sets us back. And the judiciary have been captured by woke ideology. I very much fear the police have too.
Sorry, brick Portaloos? What was that?
Well, you know what they say. You've heard the old expression, built like a brick
Yeah,
house.
no, I got it. Yeah. All right. Okay, it's time for your perspective, Lindsay, whenever you're ready.
Apparently, it's been customary for things to get a bit theatrical every once in a while at this time. Has been so for the last 2,000 years. There's a bit of a season of spectacle, heroism most edifying and gratifying, villainy and treason most foul, mass hysteria, howling mobs, bloodlust, and even the occasional crucifixion. This week, Islamo terrorists have leered up again, this time in Moscow, recruited by ISIS, Barack Hussein Obama's JV team, which is sending other recruits across America's southern border as we speak. Now, don't tell me that's paranoia on my part. FBI Director Christopher Wray has just told us it is so. And if someone as treasonous as that rodent is admitting it's happening, it assuredly is. Chinese communists are flooding across the border too. That is Beijing Biden, the bribed bastard, enabling what he's being bribed to enable. Hunter Biden's former business partner, Tony Bobulinski, testified to the Biden impeachment inquiry about that this week.
You may see me speak passionately at this hearing, but for good reason. Not only was I willing to die for this country, every single male member of my immediate family was willing to die for this country. I want to be crystal clear. From my direct personal experience and what I've subsequently come to learn, it is clear to me that Joe Biden was the brand being sold by the Biden family. His family's foreign influence peddling operation from China to Ukraine and elsewhere sold out the foreign actors who are seeking to gain influence and access to Joe Biden and the United States government. Joe Biden was more than a participant in and a beneficiary of his family's business. He was an active, aware enabler who met with business associates such as myself to further the business, despite being buffered by a complex scheme to maintain plausible deniability.
Beijing Biden, Bobulinski confirmed, was indeed the big guy of the infamous memo, the designated recipient of 10% of any loot snagged by Hunter. Woke fascist, dumb as a rock, fry-quacking airhead bimbo, occasional cortex, wasn't having any of it.
Mr. Bobulinski, I heard your opening statement. It's submitted to the record, part of our proceedings. I have a quick question. Simple. Is it your testimony today that you personally witnessed President Joe Biden commit a crime?
I believe the fact that he was sitting with me while I was putting together a business deal.
Did you witness the president commit a crime? Is it your testimony today?
Yes.
And what crime? Do you have you witnessed?
How much time do I have to go through it?
It is simple. You name the crime. Did you watch him steal something?
Corruption statutes, RICO and conspiracy.
What is it? What is Sarah. What is the crime, sir? Specifically.
You asked me to answer the question. I answered the question.
No.
RICO, you're obviously not familiar with. Corruption
Excuse
statutes.
Excuse me, sir. Excuse Sarah. Me, sir. Excuse me, sir. RICO is not a crime. It is a category. What
I don't
is
know.
The
It's a category
crime?
Of crimes that you're then charged
You
under
have charges.
A long hundred
You
list
have
of
charges. Sir, yeah. please
you want me to
name
the exact statute
sir,
under RICO?
Yes.
Well, it's funny. In this committee room, everyone's not here. There's over 18
All right, sir. I reclaim my
lawyers
time.
That
I
went to law school.
Time. I
I'll
reclaim
leave it
my
up to
time.
You guys
Okay,
to
thank
define
you,
the
sir. I
statute
reclaim my
under
time.
RICO.
The only thing more tawdry than trash like occasional cortex are the voters who put her there, as they indeed put other trash there, such as Fanny Syphilis, Arthur N. Gonorrhea, and Letitz James, who campaigned on an utterly unconstitutional Stalinist platform of persecuting and destroying one political opponent. Here's Letitz campaigning for New York District Attorney in 2019, when President Orange was still in wondrous office.
America is an uncharted territory. We are angrier and more deeply divided than we've ever been at any point in our history since the Civil War. And at the eye of the storm is Donald Trump, ripping families apart, threatening women's most basic rights, and running for attorney general because I will never be afraid to challenge this illegitimate president when our fundamental rights are at stake. From the Muslim ban, to efforts to deport immigrants, to denying transgender students the ability to choose whatever bathroom they want, rolling back regulations to protect our planet, colluding with foreign powers, putting profits over people, and dividing us in ways we haven't seen in generations.
Show me the man and I'll find the crime was, of course, the boast of Stalin's secret police chief, Beria, in the midst of the show trials in the Soviet Union in the 1930s. Orange Man Bad's former campaign rival and now fervent supporter and possible running mate, Vivek Ramaswamy, called it out.
The Letitia James crusade against Donald Trump is disgusting and is a threat to every American. When you have prosecutors who are elected to office on a promise of going after one particular individual, as she campaigned on, then go on to keep a campaign promise using the legal system to do it, it's unjust. In this particular case, reveals how ugly that is. In this case, you're talking about a crime for which there was literally no identifiable victim. The people who did business with Donald Trump weren't individual consumers. They were sophisticated financial institutions who made money from their dealings. And yet Letitia James is using a consumer protection statute to literally make up numbers and say, hey, you have hundreds of millions of dollars in penalties that you owe. You have bond to post by a particular date of an unreasonable magnitude that even no billionaire is regularly able to meet. And to say, if you don't do it, I'm going to start seizing your property. It's disgusting. And it is a threat to not only private property, but threat to the justice system and to the rights of every American.
So they thought they were about to crucify him for the blasphemy of success, for his soaring towers, his razzle-dazzle, his glitz and glamour, his heresy and humor, his middle finger to their filthy swamp. Les tits ejaculated publicly. Truly an unspeakable spectacle, worthy of a $500 million fine, at the prospect of padlocking Trump Tower and confiscating it. Another brick Portaloo whose face is her chaperone. But at the last minute, the swampy courts blinked. An unconscionable $500 million fine for no crime became $175 million for no crime. Still unconscionable, but leaving Orange the Magnificent free to appeal and his properties unconfiscated. And so the swamp creatures should blink. At least one person actually hung up on a cross is reputed to have staged a miraculous recovery, a spectacular comeback. Then what would happen if history repeated itself to the woke plan to close down civilization lest the planet should mortally combust? On that matter, the vacuousness of the swamp's useful idiots was on painful display this week when Olympic skateboarder Gus Schumacher appeared before a Senate committee to warn, as occasional cortex likes to, of the planet's imminent demise. It didn't go well. Here's Senator John Kennedy.
What is carbon dioxide?
I went to high school, but that's carbon dioxide is a gas.
Okay.
I'm not a professional to talk about carbon dioxide so much, but...
Well, you want us to abolish it, right?
No, there's always going to be carbon dioxide.
Right. So what is it you want us to do? Let me back up, because I mean, you're here as an expert. Tell me more about what carbon dioxide is.
I'm here as an expert cross-country skier who sees the changes in my winters and the landscape that I live in Alaska. And so carbon dioxide is what I see it as, is, you know, it's a gas that exists in our atmosphere. And what,
is it the major part of our atmosphere?
It's a huge part of our atmosphere, yes.
It's actually a very small part of our atmosphere.
Well, okay. But, yeah, I don't know. What are you asking specifically?
Well, you said we need to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. I'd like to know first if you know what it is. You want us to abolish fossil fuels?
I never said that.
You never have said that?
No.
Okay. What do you think we ought to do with fossil fuels?
What will we do with fossil fuels?
Yeah. Should we make any changes?
I would like to see a decrease in the use of fossil fuels. I think there's a possibility to use more electric generation.
Okay. Over what period of time? 10 years, 50 years, 100 years?
That's not... I would like to see it come as fast as possible while continuing...
How fast?
Sorry?
How fast?
I'm not... I don't have a good
answer
for that. No.
Okay. You just think, well... How much will it cost for us to become carbon neutral in the United States by 2050?
I'm not a professional on that. I don't have an answer.
You don't have any idea?
No.
You just think we ought to spend the money?
I'm not an economist.
I hope Senator Kennedy doesn't suffer the fate of an earlier John Kennedy who triggered the swamp. And Gus, well, unlikely tits and fanny syphilis, he's redeemed by astonishing handsomeness. But he should pay heed to the words of another snow lover, Alex Epstein, author of Fossil Future: Why Global Human Flourishing Requires More Oil, Coal, and Natural Gas, Not Less. Quote, "Some of my favorite moments are spent alone in nature, snowboarding at the end of the day when I'm the only one I can see on the mountain, walking over lava on the Big Island of Hawaii, standing under secluded waterfalls in the Grand Canyon. Where I differ from other people of nature is that I don't think of fossil fuels as opposed to these experiences. I recognize that the availability of these experiences that exists today is totally dependent on fossil-fueled machine labor and freed-up time. Fossil fuels make our world unnaturally, amazingly, increasingly livable. Without fossil fuels or their equal, the livability of today's world would collapse, causing apocalyptic levels of suffering and death." Unquote. Thank goodness in our country the new government has lifted the ban on oil and gas exploration and is looking to reopen Marsden Point. Oh, which reminds me, to Shane Jones, the Perigo's Perspective Freedom Award. Overall, at this seminal time, looking back on another, I would urge upon the woke fascists some self-awareness. It helps that even Dem scum are getting sick of it. Veteran strategist James Carville has just told the New York Times, who are as cretinously woke as our fake media, yet published his comments anyway, "A suspicion of mine is that there are too many preachy females. Don't drink beer, don't watch football, don't eat hamburgers. This is not good for you. The message is too feminine. Everything you're doing is destroying the planet. You've got to eat your peas." It doesn't help, though, that the Christian churches have abandoned the cross and embraced this diabolical religion of woke. The Christian churches no longer believe for a second that Jesus rose from the dead. Neither, I hasten to add, do I. But I don't go through the motions of pretending to. I disbelieve openly, and do so in the name of reason and evidence, not in the name of a new, worse, sillier religion. I disbelieve because my reason, applied to the evidence, tells me that death closes all. There's nothing else, no afterlife. An individual's life is a finite period of consciousness between two infinite periods of oblivion. All the more reason to make the most of it. That said, I'd take authentic Christianity, if it still existed, over wokeyanity any day. Wokeyanity is Christian clergy simpering on not about individual sin and redemption, but social oppression and injustice, by which they mean imaginary racism, sexism, transphobia, and all the rest of their fashionable hobgoblins. Wokeyanity is a preachy female, Dr. Miranda Threlfall Holmes, and I'm not making that up, an Anglican archdeacon, tweeting, "Let's have anti-whiteness and let's smash the patriarchy." I can't wait to see what gender-neutral atrocity wokeyanity will come up with to replace Our Father. I know they're working on it. Christianity's hell is no threat. It doesn't exist. Wokeyanity's hell is real, here, now, with its bigotry, its temper tantrums, and riots, and lootings, and arsons, and killings, its inquisitions, its crucifixions by doxing and cancellation, its willful, smug mindlessness, and, yes, its unendurable females, finger-wagging, scolding, quacking, squawking, and screeching. That hell is real, and it's here. By contrast, let us not forget, this weekend of all weekends, authentic Christianity inspired some of the most miraculous heavenly music ever. May we have that Christianity back? Happy Easter.
Thank you. With your help, we can continue to fight for freedom. This is not possible without your generosity. Join our quest for the truth and our freedom. Simply visit www.realitycheck.radio/donate to make a difference today.